I'm really confident in the young list we're building up the Gold Coast Suns. So to be able to put an extra 2 years on my contract, I'm just excited for what's to come. No, it was always Gold Coast for me. I said from the start that I was going to wait till the end of the year to make a decision. I felt no pressure to re-sign earlier or anything like that. And I just waited until the right moment and re-signed. It's not really on my mind too much playing with Max at the moment. I'm more just thinking about Gold Coast and the exciting opportunity I've got to play for the Suns over the next few years.
It was a big day for football yesterday. Finally, some good news going on from a Gold Coast perspective, to the point where the doyen that is Mike Sheehan, former chief football writer of the Herald Sun, where Glenn McFarlane works diligently day to day and basically writes the paper, said it was the most significant day in the history of the Gold Coast Suns. So welcome you, Macca. Good morning to you. Do you agree with Mike?
Yeah, I do. Well, not the most significant day, but it's thereabouts, half for sure.
Don't agree?
No.
So you don't think Mike's...
Well, no, I think it was...
You think Mike's lost it, is that what you're saying?
I mean, getting Gary Ablett there was pretty important at the time. I would have thought that would have been launch of a footy club.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, but we're looking X amount of years down the
track.
We're
looking in the rearview mirror here a bit.
Yeah, it was pretty...
It was big at the time, absolutely.
Massive.
But where they are now...
I had a press conference at Crown, I remember.
Yeah,
it well.
I was there. Were you there?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah. I was definitely there.
Were you there, Duke?
Probably a bit.
Duke, were you there?
It was a bigger signing than Carmichael Hunt, put it that way.
Well, he's got Carmichael
Hunt.
I think it is.
It's right up there because it's a statement, isn't it? That's the most important thing. It's a statement. It's not just a statement to the rest of the competition. I reckon, importantly, it's a statement to Matt Rowell and Noah Anderson, who are going to be the number one, number two picks in the upcoming draft. It's a statement to them that this footy club's going to be around, and there's few people who don't want it around.
So, Macca, now...
Why do you look at Adam White when you always say that?
I'm nervous now.
So now this has happened, and I actually agree with Harv. I think it is right up there.
It's definitely up there, no question.
Because of where they're at
Maybe
the
not number one, but...
Yeah, but I think closer to it is, just because they're in crisis. So why wouldn't now Gold Coast go after their brother?
I think that's what they'll do. Now, whether they can actually achieve that, why not turn the offensive on St Kilda? That's probably the key, isn't it? Now, the two brothers would love to play together. Now we know that there's a commitment there. I think it is behoven on them to actually have a crack.
So what is more important for Gold Coast? Is it getting the Anderson-Rowell combination, or is it actually saying, well, we're prepared to give up two... Or 1-4 Max to get them up. Now that Ben's locked in, would you or is it just too dynamic, that duo of getting the two of them up together?
I think it's too dynamic. I think they're so close, those two. I think it's a generational type thing if they can get those two together and to be up there. When you're talking about getting hold of Max, I'm thinking maybe a couple of years down the track, more so than this time around. I'd be loath to give up. Particularly, I think it's a really bad look. I know the AFL would allow them to do it, but they've got that priority pick. To trade it off again, I don't know. Not for me.
Max might not want to leave as well. If Simon Lethlean gets all 16 of his trades that he wants to get through, then they might actually have a really good year next year.
I have a suspicion that if it wasn't that Rowell and Anderson were going to go one and two in the draft, I'm not sure they would have actually got the priority pick. I actually think it was a way of concocting something to get two to go up together.
So you're saying they're not really mates?
That can hopefully keep them...
I see where you're coming from.
They get the twins up there together, and then they have the two best mates up there together. Then all of a sudden they're rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. And we need them rolling. If they're going to be fair dinkum about it, this is almost, in a sense, ground zero from the Gold Coast Suns. We know how much pressure they're under to make it work. They've got to make... If they're going to stay there, we don't want to see a club that's going to be an embarrassment next year. And they were an embarrassment at stages of this year, weren't they? That was the problem. So I think... I'm not having a go at Mike, and I agree that it is one of a number. No, I love Mike. You know that. No, not at all. And I was worried when you said the main man before, because Mark Robinson, as you know, listens to this program.
Well, he loves the program.
I'll get a text as soon as I get off air to say, mate, you're not the main man. You're far from the main man.
Former chief, I said. Former chief. Yeah. The current chief would be upset about that. Any mention of Mike.
Yeah, the current chief.
The current chief will get over it, especially if he has a winner through the carnival.
True. Very important.
He quite likes a winner.
He likes a winner. He never loses either.
And of course.
Yeah, you got
Do you think Glenn McFarlane from the Herald Sun that Ollie Wines was offered up as a potential trade situation for Carlton?
Oh, gee, puts me on the spot here, doesn't he? So, no, I don't know too many journalists who make things up. So I think we're at a stage now, well, we've almost jumped the shark in terms of the trade period, I think.
Well, we'll get to that shortly.
And with that, I've got a lot of time for Sam Edmund. He's an outstanding journo. He is insistent this has happened. Whether it's come from someone close to Ollie, I'm not sure. But he is insistent that this happened. I don't know many journos who make things up. Whitey, do you?
I would like to support Sam. I believe
that's what
did,
I'm saying.
I believe it did happen.
So
as well.
Do I. So do I. So well, why? Why?
Whoa, whoa, whoa! If you can, we back that up with some sort
I'm
of
winning.
Evidence.
No, well,
my information is
your yeah. information,
and which is I haven't spoken to Sam, but my information would suggest that it did happen.
And I think you'll find your information is right.
So let's break it down a little bit then, because as we know, lying is the second language.
It is.
This is why we want to talk about this.
Yeah, it's a joke.
So Port Adelaide made a statement. They don't often do things for this type of thing, but they released a statement yesterday saying under no circumstances was he discussed and was our captain put on the trade table for any situation. Nick Geeshan, who is Ollie Wines' manager, said, no, it didn't happen. What are you talking about? This is disgusting, basically. I'm paraphrasing. And then Mick Agresta, the list manager from the Blues, has spoken in the last 24 hours saying, no, he wasn't offered to Carlton in a trade scenario.
Mm-hmm. And they're allowed to say that?
That's their prerogative to say that.
All I'm saying is that I don't know many journos who would...
Sam is sticking by a story.
As he should, because he believes it to be true. And, I mean, you look at situations with other trades, you hear whispers around here, there, and everywhere, and clubs will deny. Adelaide Crows, and I'm not saying any of these people are. There may have been a brief conversation, a brief thrown up discussion, but we're talking about the Adelaide Crows, who are about to name a new coach soon.
Well, are they or not? Well, what happened yesterday?
Wednesday. We understand it might be Wednesday. It's getting closer, ticking away. But they denied so much that there was an issue with this camp. They had a press conference. They had a press conference and said there was no issue with this camp. They had a Saturday afternoon press conference to say, and now we've got a mass exodus of players because there was a problem with that. I'm not saying any of these guys are lying, but there may have been. My information is the same as yours, Whitey.
Well, no, what we can say, someone is.
Someone's lying.
Can we
stop it, please?
Well, but this is what I'm saying. This is what I want to talk about.
Someone is, Macca. There's four different stories.
There's different versions of lying.
I think we have got to a point now. Yes. The AFL have wanted this to go as long as possible to keep themselves in the news for as long as they possibly can and, you know, affect the Spring Carnival and affect every other sport. That's what they want to try and do. But we have got to a point now where we've created Trade Radio, we've created all these columns and inches of newspaper space, but it's all about nothing because at the end of the day, everyone is lying to everybody. Clubs lie to managers lie to clubs, managers lie to the media, everyone lies to everybody, and it all is all because it is a game of poker.
Mm-hmm.
So in poker, you fundamentally lie because you're trying Absolutely. To create some uncertainty or to protect your own interests, and that's what's happening. So, but everyone's just getting angry about it because the fans out there are getting angry and they're getting emotional because they don't know who to believe. Mm. And usually the fans won't believe the media. They'll believe the clubs and
Which
the
is
managers.
Unfortunate in a lot
it's
of ways.
It's unfortunate, but it's understandable.
Sure, understand.
But everyone's just doing it to everyone.
You're
so
right.
let's just cut the nonsense.
Let's have 3 days.
3 days.
Absolutely.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Get it done.
Not
because
good for
they talk to each other for the entire year anyway.
Well, they do.
It's not like, oh, we've only got
the whole
this little period.
This is actually the whole problem, that the trade discussion is going on now from February onwards, even longer, perfectly honest. So most of the stuff's already done, really. Most of the stuff, there's a few little trades here that are argy-bargy. Not little trades, there's a few big trades that are argy-bargy towards the end. But most of this stuff we've been talking about for months now.
Yeah, and that's right. The window is actually irrelevant.
It's irrelevant now.
Because it goes on for the entire
completely
year.
Completely and utterly.
But in the situation, this is where I think it's bordering on irresponsible what's happening now. Because there is this thing, oh, well, it's noise and it's AFL. It's good copy. It's good talk back topics, all that sort of stuff. Good radio suggestions. But in a time when there is a real premium on health, the mental health of people, there are footballers out there that don't know where they're going to be playing next year. They get their names mentioned, whether they are or they aren't going, when that's all getting done without them being involved in it. I just think we're getting to a really dangerous state with the way that it is all handled and the way that players are spoken about like they are casino chips. And I just think it's got to the point of being really, really irresponsible in the way in the landscape that we are in with mental health.
Yeah, that's an interesting conversation. I think that is quite a broad brush and broad topic.
Oh, it is a broad brush, but we're into broad brushes.
We're more into a refined.
I
understand what you're saying, and I think there is an element of that, absolutely. But I just said before 7 o'clock, Macca, you may not have been listening.
I was listening.
All it does is this period is just make people angry because there's
does.
So much
and there's people angry
white noise and just lies.
And don't the punters out there who are having a crack at the media, don't think that we're not angry at stages as well. We cop it as well. Like we, fortunately, I try and do a little bit of racing at this time of year as well, just to keep me sane in a lot of ways. But the media gets sick of it as well. Like, yes, it's great for our organisation in the sense that more people are engaged in trade period than almost any other stage of the year. Yeah. And this is why
it won't change. Because
it's become a business.
It has.
This period of the year is, as you say, Macca, from a Herald Sun perspective, this would be your most clicked upon.
It is.
Topics from a talkback perspective,
absolutely.
It's the most talked about because you've got 18 sets of fans that are engaged in this conversation because their club might be involved in something and they might be able to improve their list or they might lose a key player who they love, which is going to make them emotional, make them respond accordingly. And this is why it is such a big time of year. But the way it works at the moment and functions at the moment is...
Because it goes too long.
Possibly.
No question.
I think it is irresponsible. And it goes too long. And then everyone gets emotional because they get disappointed that nothing's happening.
Yep.
Well, it's a very easy fix. Just do it over 3 days.
And the same amount of trades would be done. It will not change because most of them, they know what they're doing now. It's just poker now in terms of whether we can squeeze that little bit extra out of another club.
Well, let's have a think about it. It's been now going 7, 9 days.
My goodness.
Hasn't it? Yeah, it has been going. This is the eighth day.
I don't know.
Eighth day. But the same names are being spoken about.
Absolutely.
And they still haven't been done. And now we're getting the randoms thrown out there, the Ollie Wines, the Robbie Grays, which may or may not have been thrown up as potential...
Hail Marys, in a sense, in a lot of ways.
And in the case of Robbie Gray, Robbie's got 1 year left on a contract at Port Adelaide.
Where's Robbie off to? I've missed
no, it's just there's been a few clubs inquire about
because
Robbie.
Because Robbie's got 1 year left on a contract, he can't get an extension at Port Adelaide. Clubs have found out about it and have asked the question.
Why can't he get an extension at Port Adelaide?
He's Robbie Gray. Giving one.
He's Robbie Gray.
They are
Port Adelaide.
He's got 1 year left on a contract and he hasn't been... given the contract extension that he wants. So clubs find out about that and inquire.
He's Robbie Gray.
He is. He should be getting it. And that's why you can see clubs are out there, and Port Adelaide will say, well, he's not up for grabs, but clubs are inquiring. And,
Your club, Hawthorn, was interested in that one.
Hawthorn? Were they?
He'd get a game there.
He'd sneak in.
He'd definitely get a game.
He'd go, okay.
Duke, would you take him in the brown and gold, Duke?
I certainly would.
I'd bloody take him in the brown and gold. That's a no-brainer. By the way, just on the only one situation, Sam Edwin has spoken in the last 10 or 15 minutes and said, at the start of last week, I got a tip that Carlton got a call out of the blue. It was someone acting on behalf of Ollie Wines, whether with or without his knowledge. That's the best way to describe it. In this space, clubs do use what we call intermediaries. Macca, you can clarify for us.
They do.
To keep themselves at arm's length of things like this happening so you can deny what's taken place.
Mm. And this is the thing, is that it's all about the wording.
Yep.
And when the clubs are very clever in what they say and managers are very clever in what they say.
No doubt.
Intermediary. I'm just getting sick of the whole thing.
AFL treating fans like fools and disrespecting the game they run, says an SMS. The players have the power. This is to your point before, Whitey. How can they be treated like casino chips? They have final say where they want to go, says Ben. Well, they do and they don't sometimes, Benny. There's a lot of scenarios at play. Clubs can make it very difficult for you, make you feel very unwelcome very quickly.
They can.
When they don't want you
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. The only bit of good news yesterday?
What was that?
That no pre-season trade period.
Now, I want to talk about that after the break. I reckon that's worthwhile discussing. 18 past 7, Glenn McFarlane is with us from the Herald Sun with all the latest news in footy. We've got, what are we on it? When's it finished? Is it 8 o'clock?
It's prime time.
Prime time.
Wednesday night.
Absolutely.
So what are we? About 36 hours away. T-minus 36
hours. Just
before
Love Island.
They'll hold one back just to the end.
The fact that you know that's on, Duke, concerns me.
Good show.
Do not back it up.
It is not a good
Big
show.
Brother's coming back.
I'm going to
go
headlock
head-to-head.
I can't wait for
it's
that.
It's going to go head-to-head with Maths.
Not good.
That's a really difficult one to work out what to do there.
You're all getting headlocked during the break. Back shortly.
Victoria's Own Breakfast Club.
Been a lot of work done over the weekend and this morning, so I'm hoping in the next couple of hours we'll get a positive outcome, if not tomorrow morning. Obviously the AFL closes down at 5 o'clock, but I'm hoping that the deal can get done tonight or tomorrow morning.
I would have thought for the week of the trade situation they might be able to extend hours to 9 o'clock.
Just hold it. Yeah.
Just extend the hours to 9 o'clock if they need to, Macca. I wouldn't have thought that's too big an issue. Glenn McFarlane with us from the Herald Sun. That was Colin Young talking about Bradley Hill's situation.
Hopefully get done today would be good. They've got to hold a couple. If you're the AFL, you're saying to some of the managers in the clubs, it's prime time. We need one to go. No, this is true, huh?
Well, it's
vaudeville. It's theatre.
It is.
It's what it is. We need the Joe Danaher one to go down to the wire, and we need them.
We need them signing the paper.
Correct.
With the TV in the with top corner.
Tick tick. Deadline.
Well, do we?
We do. I'm being completely facetious here.
I know you are, unfortunately, but the rest of the industry is not.
The AFL will be making those calls today, I'm sure.
Well. My heart hurts, Macca.
Head hurts.
The fact that we've spent 15 seconds on Love Island and Maths just before the break hurts my heart.
And Big Brother.
Terrible shows, all of them.
Big Brother's gone to 7.
Yeah, I know.
Is Gretel coming back? No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ask that. I didn't mean to ask that. So Brady Hill's going to be a Saint. Is that what's going to happen today?
I'm not sure that's what we hope is going to happen today. Tomorrow.
Which will mean that Freo lost out over that because they could have... had a pick 9.
But Freo will say we didn't. We got what we wanted and what we needed as well. So, but maybe Port Adelaide being involved in sort of a deal to try and broker it and get it done. So got a bit of work to do, the Saints, haven't they?
They do.
Left it a little bit late, but they've got a bit of work to do.
Maybe it's all orchestrated.
It is.
It's all formatted.
Prime time orchestrated.
Scripted already as to how
it's done. It's like wrestling, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly what it's becoming. WWE.
Do you think clubs should be able to play a joker during trade period?
Yes.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I like the sound of it.
Just to zhuzh it up a bit.
There's been enough jokers going around. So there's the Lewis Taylor trade from Brisbane to Sydney open up the Papley situation.
Papley situation will get done. I'm just looking at the ones that are still alive. Jack Stephen is the one that is a question mark.
We've just got to wait.
We hope it gets done. That's the one that's a question mark. But there's so many. We thought that Jonathan Patton one was going to go through straight away. But they're quibbling over numbers and that as well. Tom Papley gets done. Surely it gets done. Martin gets done to Carlton. They're going to have a pretty good trade period, the Blues. And I did say before about Ben King, and it was the only bit of good news yesterday. It wasn't Eddie.
I'll take that back. News.
Eddie was just outstanding.
It was a good day for footy yesterday.
It was.
I've changed my mind on that. I didn't think Carlton should have picked that bet, but I've changed my mind now. I think it's fine.
Yeah, it's more than fine. It's more than fine for what he will be to that football club.
Well, so I mean, it's fine on the field, but it's more than on the field. I think it's just a nice way to finish a storied career. And it's good that fairy tales can happen in football.
He'll be a Carlton for years.
Yeah, which is great, isn't it? And I know a good friend of ours here, Mick McGuan, was heavily against it happening and was strong about it. But I think off the field, even you could see yesterday what it meant to Eddie to be at that football club. And you guys will speak to him soon about, you know, almost the tears welling up as he was in the rooms there afterwards.
We saw the diehard fans get around him down there as well.
It'll be huge.
And that's where I've changed my mind. It's more than...
It is.
I don't believe he's the footballer he was, and I don't think he's been that for quite a while, but I don't think it's necessarily about that. And I think if it's good for Eddie, but I think it's going to be even better for the club. So I think that's a good thing.
Yep. No issues there. So Papley will get done, you reckon?
I think so. Yeah, Papley will get done. Most of them will get done. The Danaher ones, I'm just not sure what's going on there as well. So it's just bizarre. The
players are getting involved. That's what we know. Yeah. James Aish to Fremantle. Is that a Longmuir situation?
Yes, very.
Defensive coach at the Magpies.
Very close they are, the two. And the security of... The Pies have got to do some work. And when I say do some work, they've got to offload some players.
Cash?
Yeah, they need some cash. There's been a few of those over the journey.
Salary cap.
Yeah, and they need that salary dump. We know they've got the big four coming out of contract at the end of next year. And if they can keep those big four, that would be great. And James Aish is a good player, but with players to come back next year, including Tom Langdon, and we're not sure what's happening to Matt Scharenberg. He might go to North Melbourne. But the three-year offer for James Aish is just good security for him as well, and I think he gets on well with Justin Longmuir, and I think that's a good move. It's a win-win. We get that at trade time, don't we? A win-win trade period as well.
Sometimes we do, yeah.
We do.
I think it's interesting that Tom Papley situation, because say Papley goes and Sydney get pick 9, so they then have 5 and 9 in the draft.
Yep.
Now, if the Danaher thing doesn't happen, Sydney becomes a really good club, I reckon, because they've got so many good players under the age of 22. To then have two picks inside 10 in this draft, with some academy kids coming through that are 1 or 2 years away, they are going to be frighteningly good if they keep their picks.
Well, they can't pay 5 and 9 for Danaher. That's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I say.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
Yep.
Two top tens for Joe.
Yeah, and Essendon are saying they want more.
Yeah, plus
a player.
Plus Nick Blakey.
Yeah.
But and this is the thing, is that when it comes to the death, they'll do it. Heaney for Danaher. Now, Sydney won't give up on Heaney.
No.
But Essendon don't want to give up on a contracted player. So I can't see it happening.
No, I think there's a strong chance. Because if you listen to Essendon, they are fixed in the fact that they think they can turn him around. If you get another year and turn him around, it doesn't always happen. Geelong were the same with Tim Kelly. It didn't work, but gee, he had a pretty good year if Joe could come back and do that.
Yeah.
It shows that it can actually work and hold someone to a contract.
And I don't think Joe hates Essendon.
No.
I think Joe just wants a circuit breaker in his life.
Mm.
So I don't think it's irretrievable.
No.
Hates him. Can I ask you about the preseason trade period that was hit on the head yesterday?
Why do you be shattered about this? Would be shattered about this?
I'm not too distressed about this, I must admit. But why was it hit on the head?
I think there were a few clubs that were a little bit concerned about it. There was we talked about the mid-season trade window next year. We were talking about potentially that. They knocked that on the head. Just not enough time. There's enough clubs who are against that. Likewise here, it's just all happening too quick. Why do we need another trade period 5 months out from the current one we've got through now? I cannot understand this concept.
So it's purely just to safeguard preseason injuries, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
It is, but I love the fact that clubs make a decision on players and whether it's luck or whatever. You look at Richmond this year, they lost so many players early this year, they come out and win a premiership.
That's life. I mean, I know that Marlon Pickett was the story of the grand final in a lot of ways, but that's part of you being a good club.
Correct.
Is actually having a list that can actually combat, injury crises.
Yep.
Crises.
It's called list management, half,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly right. Of course it is. But I think there has been some bending of the rules anyway, with some tinkerings around list lodgements, and there are later list lodgements now, and you can make changes to your list a lot later without having to have a trade period.
It's ridiculous. Why would we need it? Yeah. To be honest, I'm astounded that they even considered it.
Mm. Rightio, that's the footy situation. I'm a bit astounded too, I must admit. What about the racing situation? What's happening in racing? Did we see that Kingsville Dream is now out of the Caulfield Cup because of a bit of an elevated
temperature? And speaking to the Shark, as I left the track on Saturday,
Mick Sharkey.
They were all systems go for the Caulfield Cup. But unfortunately, that elevated temperature has meant that... Gee, we're going to have a logjam for spots for the Cox Plate, aren't we? I think 17 or 18 doesn't go into 14.
Terry got scratched on the weekend as well, didn't it?
It did, yeah, it did. He'd added some mucus. It had some mucus in that as well that was involved. But
Hay fever.
I know, there's a bit of it going around this time of year,
Well, it's
going
to be a bad season, I reckon, too.
Is it really?
So strap yourself in.
It's not good. But it was a great day at Caulfield, and we've got another great day coming up at Caulfield, coming up with the Caulfield Cup this week. So really looking forward to that. Can't wait.
Now, there's a story in the front page of The Australian today telling us that the Everest, according to Tony McAvoy, is now the most important race in the country. Did you come across that, Macca?
I did. So Peter Vallandis would be happy with that.
Let me just read you these comments from...
Had a brief chat to the
Tony
Peter
McAvoy.
Did you?
The Melbourne Cup has lost its Australian-ness.
Mm.
This is our big race now, talking about the Everest. This is Australia's race. It's what we've created. We did this ourselves. We went to the yearling sales and started to buy speed. The breeders thought we had to breed to the market. We've created this situation ourselves. Adam Hamilton in the paper today telling us that it has become the second most in wagered event in the nation, behind the Melbourne Cup, the Everest.
It has been a great concept.
In only 2 years, it's gone absolutely gangbusters. It'll take over from the Caulfield Cup pre-post markets this year. It's a monster.
It is a monster.
Tony McAvoy has said it's the most important race in the nation.
Yeah, I can see him saying that because, he's got a live chance in it.
Race.
He's got an absolute live chance in it, hasn't he? And getting a live chance in a Melbourne Cup these days is pretty tough. Had a good chat to David Hayes last week about how difficult it actually is for an Australian trainer to actually get a horse into the Melbourne Cup. And, David's gone overseas and and certainly bought one in Constantinople that is, I think you should be writing that name down too, half as well.
Is that right?
Constantinople.
It's just a hard name to say.
If you go to the Golden Eagle, you win more cash than you do in the Everest anyway, don't you?
No, the Everest is $14 million.
$14 million the Everest.
If you win it.
If you win the Everest.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you talking about, the Golden Eagle?
If you go to that, there's more prize money in that, isn't there?
No, the Everest is the richest race. It's the number one.
$14 million
for the 14 million.
The Lexus Melbourne Cup's $8 million, just to, from a comparison.
I'm not quibbling over the money. I'm happy. But I mean,
I'd be happy to take either. I can absolutely see where
Tony McAvoy's coming from, because it has lost a little bit of that Australianness in terms of the Melbourne Cup, if that's a word.
It's a lot harder to recall the last 8 Melbourne Cup winners from now going back 8 years compared to when it was. If you were 10 years ago, you just roll them off, because the Melbourne Cup winners would be around for 2 or 3 years after winning, and the 2 years or 3 years before.
Do you know why that is?
They come and go, and you see them. They go, and you never see them again. You go, oh, what was that horse again? I can't remember. The horse, Adelaide, won the Cox Plate. It comes for one run, never see it again. And that's where we're losing that history, I reckon.
And it's the diversity of story. I think that was the great thing about the Melbourne Cup, was there was a great diverse sort of... you only have to go back to, some of the great stories of the Melbourne Cup. And there's a bit of a sameness of the overseas horses coming in. I can understand that. And we had to globalise the cup to actually, I think it's been outstanding what we've been able to do, but we've just got to be careful. And I think some of the racing administrators are trying to do that with a few qualifying races. We've seen that Surprise Baby's qualified, and we've seen that Steel Prince, fingers crossed, who was scratched on the weekend by all reports, hopefully is on the comeback trail and is okay. So we need more qualifying for Australian type horses, I think, to actually get in.
A Red Cadeau ran in 3 or 4 Melbourne Cups. We all knew Red Cadeau, but there still wasn't those lead-up races where we see them race 20 times over its career. We get to know the horses really well compared to, they go through the list.
Rogan Josh story and Wendy Green and the great Wendy in Wonderland type stories. We're just sort of lacking that diversity. Let's hope that with Surprise Baby or potentially Danny O'Brien's got an amazing horse called Vow and Declare, who's an Australian bred, not a New Zealand bred, not an overseas bred, is an Australian bred conceived horse. Wouldn't it be a great story if that horse could win?
It would be good for the race.
Passed in at the sales.
It's interesting that a respected voice like Tony McAvoy makes it. I know he's got a live chance, as you say.
He has, but he's actually right, because we know all the story. In some ways he is. I mean, the Melbourne Cup to us will always be the number one.
Yeah.
But I can see the ground that the Everest has taken off, because we know the horses in that race. We know the form lines.
Now, I don't think Hosto's entirely wrong.
I've just come across the information.
Because of the slot factor.
It's the slot factor. Oh, yes. If you win all three, you get a $5 million bonus. Yes. Money,
but
like
there's
that.
Also some of the money goes to the slot holder as opposed to
the slot holder. That's right. So it effectively is the richest race if you win the Golden Eagle. That's why Brutal's gone.
Well, I think we need a horse.
That's correct. That is correct. You need a good horse, don't we? You are 100% correct.
Yeah. We need a good horse. Can you find us one?
No.
Neither can I.
I can't find one of those.
That seemingly is correct. Yes, you are spot on because of the slot factor.
The slot factor.
They get half the cash, the slot holder of the Everest, whereas the Golden Rose, Golden Eagle.
So maybe he's going to have to.
And if you win all the Golden Race, you get a $5 million kicker, eh? If you win them.
Is that right? Michael Falgate will be all over that stuff. He knows that stuff.
$5 million kicker. That'd be nice.
Anyway, we've got to find one of those.
Short story is we need a good one.
Let's find one.
Yeah. And we'll try and find it. Macca, always nice to chat to you.
Thanks, guys.
Looking forward to chatting to you very soon.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Glenn McFarlane with all the latest in the world of footy and racing from the Herald Sun. Check out his work. He does outstanding stuff. 24-8 after the break, we'll talk some world football. The Socceroos are in action tonight. And part of their World Cup qualifying campaign, Adam Peacock from Fox Sports will join us on The Breakfast Club.